Thank you, Lord. Anybody like the weather today a little bit more than last week? Yeah. Yeah. We still had ourselves a great time here last Sunday. Those of you who were here, do you have a great time? Yeah, praise God. Well, I remember the first point in my life when I felt the pressure of needing to pay bills. Anyone else remember that moment? You probably remember the moment, right? The moment. I remember all of a sudden there was this transition in my mind where I realized I don't just want money, I need money. I have bills to pay. So I started working. I had my first job when I was 13 years old, and but when I was 17, I all of a sudden was in a situation where I needed to work. See, I had bought myself my very first car, 1992 740 Volvo. Anybody remember this? Closing in on 400,000 kilometers, it had a wind-open sunroof. I was the coolest kid in my youth group, I'll tell you that. Right now, I actually didn't like it at all, but it was a car, and I was excited to have a car, and so I bought myself a car because I had to get to a co-op that I was doing in grade 12, and I needed to have my own car to get there, and so I bought this car, and it was, you know, right in the summertime when I was working, just started working at the Rainforest Cafe on Clifton Hill, and so I had lots of shifts. I was making enough money to pay my gas, pay my insurance. If there's any other 17-year-old guys out there or guys who have ever been 17, the price of insurance is not cheap. It is ridiculous. And so what happened was all of a sudden it became fall and all the tourists went away and so did all of my shifts. And so all of a sudden I remember that feeling of I have a car and now I don't have any money. And it was that pressure. Come on, has anyone ever been there before? Like, what am I going to do? So I had to go and talk to my manager and see if they could have some extra shifts for me. And I just share that story to hopefully remind you of a time where you felt that, maybe that first time, maybe you've had a recent time pretty recently, that feeling of pressure that you needed to have an income. See, when I was 13 and making money at my job, I was just making money so that I could spend money. I just wanted to buy things like video games and CDs and movies, things that teenagers want to buy. But now something shifts when you start buying things like cars and houses is that you need money not to buy things, but to keep the things that you already bought. So that's the situation that I was in. And that's the situation that most of us live in. There's a recent article published. They did some research and asked people in this survey a question. Here's the question. If you had to pay for a $400 emergency, how would you do it? And 47% of, this was Americans, and so we're much more responsible as Canadians, of course, but 47% of Americans would not be able to pay for a $400 emergency. They would have to borrow money, either on a credit card or from family, or they would have to sell something in order to deal with a $400 emergency. So about half of us, I will say us, even in Canada, aren't able to handle a big or a small financial crisis when it comes up. This morning, as we're studying through generosity, I want to talk about God's system of meeting your needs. God's system of meeting your needs. Because thank God he has a system. Thank God he actually has a system. And there are many elements involved in a financial discussion that I'm not going to get into today. But I'll reference 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says this. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Everybody gets really excited about that verse, right? Amen. No, this is just biblical truth and reality. If you do not work, you're not going to eat. And so I'm not going to get into a financial conversation about, you know, having a good work ethic and working hard and working and earning an income based on the gifts that God has given you. But just know that that is true. So everything that I'm about to say is not saying that you don't need to work a job and to have an income. But what I want to talk about is not our efforts in our system, but God's system. God has a different way of meeting your needs. So God did create us to work. He created Adam to work in the Garden of Eden. Remember way back in the garden, before the fall, Adam had work to do. He was supposed to tend to the garden. So even without sin, without the curse in our lives, we still had work to do. So sometimes we get this funny picture of heaven as if we're just going to be sitting around being fed grapes by angels. And, you know, we kind of like it for a little bit, and then we think, well, wouldn't that be boring? No, we're going to have work to do in heaven. There was work before the fall. Adam had to take care of the garden before sin ever came. And it's interesting to note that there was also a Sabbath before sin. That there was still a need for rest before sin ever entered the world. So work is healthy and rest is healthy. But this morning I want to focus in on the fundamental system that God gives us to see that our needs are met. If you got your Bibles, open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And if you've been with us over these last few weeks, you know that we're in a series on generosity. And if you haven't been here, if you missed out 2 weeks ago, if you missed out last week, I want to strongly encourage you to go online and listen. And I always feel a little bit funny promoting my own sermons, but this is not about you going and listening to my beautiful voice, as much of a blessing as that would be in and of itself. No, I want you to go online and listen because I believe with all my heart that God gives me a word every week for the church. And so especially if you're part of this church family, I would ask that if you miss a Sunday, that you would take the time to get caught up because I believe that it's a word for you. And so 2 weeks ago, I talked about what the Apostle Paul called the secret of being content, that Paul found that there was actually a way for us in this life to be content, whether we have a little or a lot. We can actually be content with what we have, because if we're not content with what we have, then we'll never be willing to give any of it away. We cannot become generous. You will never be a good tipper if you're not content. Because you'll look at the bill and you'll think, should I leave $15 or $20 or $40? Yeah, $10 sounds better. If you're not content with what you have, you're constantly going to want to be guarding it and keeping it for yourself. And last week I talked about the discipline of cultivating a generous heart. I talked about grace-based tithing. Grace-based tithing. And that tithing is not legalism. It is a gift from God that is actually set up to bless you. Grace-based tithing. And this morning I want to talk about God's fundamental system of meeting your needs. And we know that God wants to meet our needs. 2 weeks ago, we read through Philippians. Philippians 4:19 says this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So we can know that God's will is to meet your needs. Can we get an amen? It is God's will to meet your needs. This is his will. Very clear through Scripture. This morning, I'm wanting us to discover how. How is he actually going to do it? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. "The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." Verse 9, "As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Verse 11, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So the goal of this whole series is summarized right at the end, that we would become generous in every way, not just some ways, not like we're generous sometimes and we do generous things every once in a while, that we would become generous, Paul says, in every way. And the way that we're going to get there is through the point that Paul says here. The point, he says this in verse 6, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So turn to the person beside you and say, the point is this. And turn to the person on the other side of you and say, the point is this. So if anyone wants to wonder what the point of my message is this morning, the point is this. Everybody is going to understand this. This is so, so, so clear. The point is this. If you sow a little, you'll get a little. And if you sow a lot, you'll get a lot. Service is dismissed. Thank you so much for being here this morning. The point is this. It sounds so crazy, and yet it's just so simple. This is God's system of meeting your needs. Give a little, get a little. Give a lot, get a lot. That should be a bumper sticker. Somebody should make that into a bumper sticker. It sounds illogical, because logic would say that if you want more, then you should store up what you have and keep working to get more. But that's not God's way, that's our way. That's our way. And it's not to say, again, not to say that you don't work, not to say that you don't save, not to say that you don't do wise things with your money, but it's just that that's your way with your effort, and everything that we do as believers must not just be by works, it must be by faith through grace. Everything, by grace, through faith. Sorry, I said that backwards. Everything that we do. Now, some people call this karma. You know, what goes around comes around. But the reality is, this scriptural truth was here a long time before the concept of karma. It is a biblical principle. If you sow a little, you get a little. And if you sow a lot, you'll get a lot. Now, when you give out of the generosity of your heart, you are not just throwing money away. You are sowing seed that then God uses to bring you a harvest. So the way that God meets your need is through your seed. The way that He meets your need is through your seed. So we, as the children of God, must become seed-minded and not need-minded. Anyone ever experienced being need-minded? Oh, God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need your help with the car fix. God, I need your help. I need clothes for the kids. God, I need help with this payment. God, I need this. I need that. We can become so need-minded, and we need to become a people who are seed-minded. Genesis 8:22 says this: while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. These are things that will be here forever. Now, we weren't so sure last Sunday when we had a winter storm and we thought, summer is never coming. Maybe God's just done with summer. But it's coming. Amen? Yeah. So summer and winter and all these things, day and night, cold and heat, they're always going to be here on planet Earth. And so is the system of sowing and reaping. This is not something that's going to go away. All these things, God says, will remain. And so the reality that a harvest received requires a seed to be sown. And we know this in so many ways. If you want to have a benefit of a healthy relationship, then you have to be a person who is pleasant to be in a relationship with. Gee, I wonder why nobody wants to spend time with me. I wonder why nobody calls me up, and I wonder why. Why is nobody there to take care of me? So you shouldn't be surprised if you find yourself surrounded by negative people. It shouldn't take you too long to figure out why that might be. What you sow, you will reap. If you find yourself surrounded by people who are selfish and always looking after themselves, you go, gee, I wonder why that's happening. When was the last time that you made a point of sowing encouragement and blessing and love and positivity into someone else's life? This works in every area of our lives. So you say, well, you know, there was that time a week ago where I did that one thing that was nice. Well, this isn't sow one time and get a harvest for a lifetime. This isn't like a $1,000 a week lottery where you just buy one ticket and then maybe you'll just get blessed for the rest of your life. This isn't like give once in an offering and then have no job by Friday. That'd be a great book, wouldn't it? Isn't there a book about that, right? Like New Kid by Friday? Give once in an offering and quit your job by Friday. It's not how that works. It's not a matter of you sow once and then you get, for eternity, you continually receive blessing from that one harvest. No, you have to continually sow seed. It is a discipline and a lifestyle that you actually become a giver. Sowing and reaping requires constant faith in the provision and promises of God. And here's why this is so important, because we always need to be reminded of it, because when we let ourselves get too far away from this scriptural reality of sowing and reaping, you know what happens? We sow less. The farther we get away from reminding ourselves about any scriptural concept, it just happens less in our lives. So whether you've heard this once or 100 or 1,000 times, the reason why this is beneficial is because we need to constantly be keeping our minds on our provision is actually in our seed. You will never get to a place where you can say, you know what? This giving thing is just easy for me. I finally make enough money that giving is easy. You will never get there, because if giving is easy for you, you're not giving enough. I knew that this would be a quiet morning. If it's easy, come on, if it's easy to sacrifice, it's not really sacrifice, is it? Sacrifice implies that it hurts a little bit. So giving is proportional to where you are. Sowing seed is the only thing that should ever take place outside the constraints of your budget, is sowing seed. I'm not saying you don't have sowing seed in your budget. What I mean by that is this. This is what my wife Christine and I do. We have a budget. Anyone else in the room have a budget? Amen. Every hand should be raised. Okay. You have a budget, and you have categories within the budget of how you agree that you're going to spend your income and make wise decisions. And within that, you should have an intentional plan of giving. We talked about that last week. Primarily, it's called tithing, but you can have other things in there. But sowing seed is the one thing that my wife and I have said that if it's not in the budget, but we feel that we want to give or sow seed, that we don't have to consult each other on it. Every other purchase, like in a budget, you have to discuss together as a couple. So this is how Christine and I do it. We talk about everything. I don't buy myself something without talking to her. She doesn't buy something for herself without talking to me. Every once in a while, we buy something for the other person without telling each other. Does that make sense? But we're pretty strict with our purchases, except in this one area. We give each other total trust, total freedom. If God puts something on your heart to give, you give. And you don't have to ask me about it. We tell each other about it after, but you don't have to ask me about it. Because we believe so deeply that when you become seed-minded, we believe that the seed that we sow is actually the means by which God will meet our needs. And when you actually believe that, then you actually look for opportunities to give. So when you become seed-minded, you look at the money you make differently. You look at your income differently, because you no longer look at your paycheck as a direct means of meeting your needs. You look at your paycheck as seed that God has given you to steward, and that you have the power and the ability to choose how to sow that seed. And from your seed, God will meet your need. So we've become very need-minded in our culture about the needs that we have. But we already know this, Philippians 4:19, God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And so sometimes our conversations with God sound like this. God, I need ... And God says, I will meet your need. Yeah, but God, I need this. God says, I'll meet your need. I'll do that.
Yeah, but God, I need. Yeah, I'll do that too. Yeah, but God, I need. Yeah, I'll do that. I told you I'll take care of that. Yeah, but God, I need. Yeah, I'll do that. I told you I'd take care of that. Yeah, but God, I need this. Yeah, I already told you that I would do that. But what is often missing is understanding how God is going to do it. So the rest of the equation is this. If you would listen longer after you say, God, I need, I believe that you would hear God saying, when was the last time you sowed some seed? Philippians 4:19 was written to the Philippian church who had just given in an offering to Paul's ministry. And Paul, within the context of giving, said, my God will meet your needs. Based upon their giving, God will meet your needs. See, we have to partner with the promises of God. You know that you have a role to play in receiving the promises of God? You know you have a role to play, that there's a partnership? You know that when God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child, that they still had to do something as a part of the equation to have a child? And all the married people in the house said, amen. That's supposed to be funny. Come on. Everything that God wants to do in our lives, it's a partnership. God needs us to be involved. We cannot sit back and say, well, you know, I guess all that we can do now is just pray and trust God. Wrong answer. All that we can do is pray. First of all, the problem with that is you're treating prayer like it's a last resort. But second of all, that's never the only thing that you can do, because trusting God is always active. There is something that you can do to prove that you trust God. There is something that you can do. Even it's as simple as changing the way that you talk about your circumstances. You show that you trust God by actually acting like God is taking care of you. So to not say things like, well, yeah, I believe God's taking care of me. But then when people come and ask you how you're doing, you say, well, boy, I tell you, I'm really struggling. And I just don't know how we're going to meet ends meet. I just don't know how we're going to get through this. But, you know, we're praying and trusting God. No, you're not. That's not trust. So there is always a role that we play in receiving the promises of God. So we sit here and we look at God and we say, God, meet our needs. And I believe God's asking us this morning, when's the last time you sowed a seed? Sowing seed is the means by which God will meet your need. And the more seed-minded you become, the more generous you become. You know, I can say this as a church, because we've been talking about this actually with as a church board, becoming a more generous church. And it has been so much fun to start giving away more money and increasing our giving to missionaries and organizations. It is a blessing to be able to give. And we give not just because we enjoy doing it, not just because we believe it's the right thing to do, but we believe that our church will actually grow based on the seed that we sow. We believe this. So I'm not preaching this to you from a hypocritical standpoint. As a church, we give. As a church, we sow seed. Because we believe that this is how the kingdom of God actually works. You can stay there in 2 Corinthians, but I want to read Genesis 1, 28 and 29 says this. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. So God said this right in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. He says, I have given you every seed that you need to meet your need. God says, I've given you every seed yielding plant. Notice that God draws attention to the seed. He doesn't just say, here's some food, and if you just sit underneath the apple tree, apples will grow and they will fall from the tree into your mouth. He draws Adam and Eve's attention to the seed. Notice that there's a seed in the plant. And everything in life starts as a seed. Every plant, every human being, there is a process by which something must first be sown before something is ever received. So God told Adam and Eve, I've given you all the seed that you need to meet your need. Now this should change your perspective when you feel like you have a need in life and you say something like, I don't have enough to meet this need. You know, the reality is you actually do. Because what you need is not the amount of money to cover the need. All that you need is enough to sow a seed. So you might have a $400 repair come up, and you might not have the $400, but you know what you might have access to? $40. $4. You have something that you could sow and say, God, I'm trusting you that you're going to take care of my needs. This is Paul's offering message to the church. And it's so beautiful because it captures the heart of God. It is completely guilt-free. It's con-free, pressure-free. Paul says, you don't give out of pressure. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9, let's read it again, says this. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly. So you got to avoid two things. Don't give reluctantly. Don't be hesitant to give. But don't give under compulsion. Because God loves a cheerful giver. So here's two ditches on either side of the road that you want to avoid. Don't be reluctant to give. Don't be hesitant to give. Don't hesitate. But don't feel pressure. This is called biblical giving. Don't be hesitant to give. Don't feel pressure to give. Give, every person, give as you have decided in your heart. So let me give you a real practical example of this. You ever been in a grocery store or retail store where they've asked you if you wanted to donate a dollar or two or three to some cause? What are you supposed to do as a believer? What is an appropriate response to that? Use 2 Corinthians 9:7 to respond to that. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So let me tell you what I do, and you can make your own decision for yourself. When they ask me if I want to give an extra dollar or two or three to a certain cause, sometimes I say yes, and sometimes I say no. Now, you can make your own decision for what you want to do, but I need to guard my heart, and you need to guard your heart by this. You need to give as you've decided. You don't let other people decide that you should give. You don't let other people put pressure on you for you to give. See, sometimes you feel that pressure that you don't want to say no because there's a person standing right there. And it's like, would you like to give an extra $2 to save hungry children? And who wants to say no to that? Who wants to? No. Oh. That's what you're waiting for from the cashier. Like, oh. Okay, well, your bill is $300. Thanks for coming, you know. But you can't give $2. You're waiting for that. You know what that is? Guilt. If you give solely because you feel guilty not giving, don't give. That's what Paul says. If the only reason that you say yes is so that you won't get the look from the cashier, you're giving for the wrong reasons. Give when you want to give. When you decide that you can joyfully give, give. But the seed that you sow should be guarded. This isn't about just like emptying your bank account and running down the streets going, here you go! I'm sowing seed! No, you've got to guard what God has entrusted to you so that you give it in the places that God tells you to. So you use 2 Corinthians 9:7 as the test to know, should I be giving? Should I give to this cause? Should I give to this person? Should I give to this ministry? Should I give to this individual? Always go back to this. Ask yourself. I shouldn't be hesitant, which means what? I should always be willing to consider giving. Your first response should, you should always be willing to consider giving. Don't hesitate, but don't give because of pressure. Give because you want to. Verse 8, we'll read again, says this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times you may abound in every good work. This is God's best for you, that in every situation you would always have enough. Does that sound good to anybody? Always having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Why? So that you can be comfortable and enjoy life? No, so that you can have enough to give away. So that you can always have enough to give away. This is the blessed life. Read verse 10 again. It says this, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. God is the one who supplies you with seed to sow. You don't have seed apart from God. Now notice that it doesn't say that God is the one providing you with the harvest. It says that he gives you seed to sow. He supplies and he multiplies the seed that you sow, because from you sowing the seed is how God will increase the harvest. It's from the seed. The giving comes first. In verse 11, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. God's heart for us is that we would always be able to give. And here's the good news for all of us this morning. You do always have enough to give. You do. You could have nothing but one piece of bread left. Anyone remember a story from the Old Testament about a lady who only had one piece of bread left? She said to the prophet, I'm going to go and feed my son and I, and then we're going to die. Remember that story? What'd the prophet say? Feed me first. Why? Because he's a selfish, hateful preacher. Can you imagine the headlines? Feed me first. Local pastor visits low-income housing units in Niagara and demands that they make him a meal. Come on, seriously, feed me first, the prophet says. Why? Because he's selfish? No, because he gets God's system. If I can get you to sow a seed, God can bless you. If I can get you to see that your provision isn't your paycheck, it's God, I can help you. If we can start to see that your provision is not in how hard you work, it does not matter how hard you work, your provision comes from God. Everything comes from him. It's a gift from him. So what is your need this morning? Whatever need you have, would you be willing to pray and ask God, where's an opportunity for you to sow a seed? This is how everything works. Before Christine and I got our van, we sowed a seed to get our van. We didn't save up money for the van first. We gave away money first for the van, and then we started saving for the van. You start with sowing a seed because you're reminding yourself, God, you come first. The point is this, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You got to always be willing to give. So I'll tell you a story. I've told it before, but I can only tell you the stories that I got. So I'll tell it again. When Christine and I first got married, we had a television that did not have the color green. It was a used television that we got as a gift from, well, I wouldn't say a gift. That's not a very nice gift to give. But someone was getting rid of a TV, and we took it, and they said, it doesn't really work great, no color green. So you can imagine watching the Hulk on television. That was interesting. He was red. And so we got married. The first thing we got serious about was getting out of debt. And so we paid off our debt. First thing that, that Christine said we could do is go buy a big screen TV, because this is what I wanted, big screen TV. So we got out of debt, and then we were saved up, and we had, I mean, it was Friday night, and I knew that the paycheck was going to get deposited into my account. And so Saturday, we were going shopping for this TV. And we were praying before bed, as we do every night, praying together. And we're always, as we pray, we're always listening. And then we would share with each other, is God putting anything on your heart? Is God speaking to you about anything? And we were at a certain point in our lives where we were beginning to get this. We were beginning to understand being seed-minded. And I'm so excited. You know, I'm having a great prayer time. Why? Because I get to go buy a TV tomorrow. It's amazing how fleshly we can be, right? And we're praying, and I just get this challenge in my spirit. What if I told you to give that money away? You know that $1,000 you got saved up to go buy yourself a TV? What if I told you to go give it away? What if I told you to give it to Joyce Meyer Ministries? That's exactly what he told me. And I thought, get thee behind me. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. But I tell you, I hesitated. And I shouldn't have. And I said, God, I will give it. I will give it all. I'll give it all. And I told Christine, because if you don't share it, guess what? This is where you don't get into it. You don't have accountability. This is where you get in trouble. You just all make a decision quietly, but then no one's there to keep you accountable. So then you go buy the TV anyway. So I told Christine, this is what God just said. And I just felt this such a peace. God says, go buy your TV. Enjoy. Enjoy. What was God doing? He's testing me. Are you always ready to give what you have to somebody else? To be seed-minded? And let me tell you, God will meet your needs according to his riches in glory. Not yours. Not yours. His riches. He takes care of his children. He will always take care of you. Can I get a good amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. And let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for every heart in this room. I thank you for every person, God. And I thank you for the way that you continually through your word are making us aware that your ways are better and higher than our ways. That God, we do not need to solely function in a place of work and working and striving. But God, your grace is there to provide for us. Lord, I am asking this morning that you would help us become a seed-minded people, that we would always look at what you bless us with as an opportunity to bless others. God, that we would never be closed-fisted with what you have given us, but God, we would be such a generous people, we would always be looking for opportunities to give. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your provision for us. And I ask you this blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you would like prayer at all, ask our prayer team to come on up. We would love to spend time in prayer with you. And we say this every week because it's true. And so if you'd like to be prayed for, our prayer teams will be up here. But if you must go, God bless you and have a wonderful day. Let the king of my heart be the shadow.